Tyler, did anything from the two-day event down at AT&T Stadium stand out to you?
There wasn't a whole lot that came out of day one where the headliner was Oklahoma. Day two, the biggest story from Big 12 Media Day was the fact that if you're an opposing player and you're playing Texas and you throw the horns down at their crowd, if you throw the horns down at one of their players, if you throw the horns down at their bench, then you are going to be flagged 15 yards. Now, if you go to your sideline and you quickly flash the horns down and nobody sees it and you do it discreetly, then you're not going to be flagged. So it's kind of a big joke right now in the league, and I roll my eyes at it, the fact that they use the word, it intimidates the crowd. If you throw the horns down like that, you can intimidate another player by doing so. And a 15-yard penalty is not anything, Bill. As you know, that can change the course of a football game. So, yeah, a horns down and how it's going to be penalized was the biggest story in the first 2 days.
Does the Big 12 know how petty that sounds?
No, I don't think that they do. If they truly knew, then they wouldn't have their rules official come out and have an entire press conference about it. It's
right.
Not like that was just announced in passing. There was an entire press conference about that, which sparked Tom Herman to say that it's super disrespectful, which I also roll my eyes at that because I don't need Tom Herman telling me that the horns down are disrespectful. When I saw him do something 3 years ago that I've never seen any other coach in college football do, and that's mock an opposing player's celebration on the sideline when he mocked Drew Locke against Missouri in the Texas Bowl. So I don't know, man. It's not only does the Big 12 look bad, Texas is looking bad, Tom Herman's looking bad. It's a big-time joke, in my opinion.
Well, and here's maybe metaphorically speaking, but this is just another example as to who runs this league. Because if, for example, you could do an upside-down cyclone at Iowa State, and I don't even know what that would look like. I'm just making this up. Or you're playing Kansas State, and you could do something that disrespects a Wildcat with your fingers. I don't know. You think that would get done in the Big 12 office as a penalty?
I said the exact same thing yesterday.
Hell no.
And I used the exact same school as an example. I said if Iowa State had a hand signal and people were making fun of it, there is 0% chance it ever gets flagged for 15 yards. That's the thing, 15 yards.
I know.
Not 5 yards or anything like that. 15 yards, that can legitimately change the course of a football game. That's where we're at right now with this rule. It's insane.
Lincoln Riley not wanting to really say Jalen Hurts is my starter. Is that just coach protocol? It's got to be.
Yeah, no, it is. What's funny is if you kind of act like CeeDee Lamb was there on Monday, which is OU's best receiver that people don't know, and he's getting questions about Jalen Hurts, and he's answering it like he's going to be the starting quarterback. I mean, everybody knows who it's going to be. But Lincoln did say something interesting, and I'll give him credit for this. We all know that Jalen Hurts is going to be the starter, but he said, look, what does it say about our program? What does it say about me if some guy just transfers from another school here and I immediately name him the starter? What does that say about that quarterback room? What does that say about the other position battles I have going on across the field? I've got to let these things play out. And to his point, why would you not? I mean, what benefit do you get coming out on Monday and saying, oh, Jalen Hurts is our starter? I mean, we know that that's going to be the case, but maybe competition is good for him going into training camp. Maybe that's the case. And two, Lincoln Riley is approaching this like any other head coach in college football. We know how the transfer portal is now. And as of today, OU has three scholarship quarterbacks on campus. One is Jalen Hurts. One is Tanner Mordecai. The other one is true freshman Spencer Rattler, who was the number one quarterback in last year's recruiting class. They don't have a quarterback committed for the 2020 recruiting class. Maybe they'll get one, maybe, but they don't have one recruited right now. So seemingly, going into 2020, going into next year, they're only going to have three scholarship quarterbacks as well. So you want to make Tanner Mordecai feel like he was in a legitimate quarterback battle. It went all the way deep into training camp. And then a week before you announced Jalen Hurts as the starter, he wants to make sure he has as many bodies in that room as possible. So I get it. I get it in Lincoln Riley's at point. I really do, but Jalen Hurts is your starter, yes.
And they do have a rising junior, 2021, Brock Vandergrift, committed out of Georgia, who is, what, one of the top two ranked quarterbacks in that class in the nation. So the quarterback room is in good shape right now as far as the way they've got it layered and stacked up.
They've got several positions offensively where they can kind of go out and get whoever they want, but that's especially true on quarterback. You're right. Jalen Hurts decided to go there for 1 year. Spencer Rattler, number one quarterback, like I said, elects to pick OU. And then Brock Vandergrift, knowing that Spencer Rattler is on campus and 2 years do separate the two, but knowing that Spencer Rattler is probably going to be the starter when he gets there, it didn't matter to him. So quarterback-wise, I don't think it's all that big of a surprise. They've had the last two Heisman winners. They've had the last two number one overall picks. Who has a better recruiting pitch than that right now? It's more of selecting who you want than really recruiting at that position right now. It's crazy how much they have it going.
Tyler McComas out in Norman, Oklahoma. We're talking Oklahoma, Big 12, et cetera. Offensive line radio isn't always the best radio, as you know. You do this, but Creed Humphrey's back at center, and everybody else is gone from what was considered the best offensive line in college football. How are they going to replenish that? Is that just a given? Is it just next guy in, we're okay?
I think it's going to determine if this team goes to the college football playoff or falls short of its goal of winning the Big 12 this year. I think that they are super talented up front this year, but I also think that they're super raw and unproven. For that great offensive line last year, and they were great, they won the Joe Moore Award for the best offensive line in the country, but it took them 4 or 5 games for them to really play at a high level. It took them the first time that they played Texas to finally say, okay, now they're playing at the level that they need to play at. This offensive line is going to have growing pains. And to think otherwise, I think you're just kidding yourself. They're going to have to gel together. They're going to have to mesh together. That's going to take time. The good news for them, and I do think that there's going to be some bumps along the way, but the good news for them is I don't really see a front seven on the schedule, especially early on, that should terrify you. Houston's not going to have a great defense. You play South Dakota. UCLA's going to have some athletes, but I don't think that they're just super talented up front either. The first really good defense potentially, and this team lost a lot of starters that you're going to play, is Texas. So seemingly, your offense should still be good enough to get you by until early October when you play Texas. And hopefully by that point, that offensive line is playing at a level where the running game is pretty much there anytime you need it. But, yeah, replacing four starters is never easy. Good news for them, super talented. Bad news, it's going to take time, kind of like anybody else. It's going to take time for them.
Is it Oklahoma and Texas again?
I don't see anybody else. I really like Baylor. I think Baylor's going to finish third in the league. I think Matt Rhule's an unbelievable coach. I think he's going to have a really good offense this year that can throw it around. I'm a little bit more down on Iowa State than most people, but the talent disparity is just massive between Oklahoma, Texas, and everybody else. I just don't see a situation where it's not those two, barring injury, of course, where it's those two teams in the Big 12 championship again. Yeah.
Give me a couple of true freshmen, newcomers. They could be early enrollees, but true freshmen to watch out for.
Well, when you sign 3 5-star wide receivers, that's a pretty good place to start, right?
Right.
And I think that all three of those guys for OU, 3 5-star wide receivers, are going to have a chance to get on the field. I'd probably watch out for Theo Weiss. He's going to wear number 10 this year. I think he's got a chance to get in the rotation. The tough thing, though, is you've got 3 5-star wide receivers, and two of them had unbelievable spring games, throw in Jaden Hazelwood as well. And the problem is, though, is that's the toughest position on the field to probably break through in right now. CeeDee Lamb's back. I mentioned him before. Charleston Rambo had a big Orange Bowl. Those kids are super talented. They're really, really talented. But it's going to be tough for them to get on the field at least early because they're just so stacked at that wide receiver position. But if I'm naming a couple, I got to start at the 5-stars that they signed this offseason.
How long before, and you may tell me it's already going on, it becomes a big worry that Lincoln Riley's going pro?
I just have really never gotten a genuine response or a genuine feel from him that he's legitimately interested. I really don't. I think that he is solely focused right now on getting over the hump at OU, getting the climb back to where Clemson and Bama is at OU. I'm not just saying that. I really feel that he's just not considering that right now. But we can revisit that question in 5 years, and maybe it's different. But I think Lincoln Riley right now is consumed with getting this defense back where it needs to be to really compete for a national championship, winning that first national championship. I mean, I think at some point maybe that interest is there. And as we all know, money talks. He was a massive Dallas Cowboys fan growing up. I mean, that was his team, and I think that matters. But at least for right now, he loves recruiting. He's good at recruiting. And in college football, you can control your roster. You can control what your roster looks like. But when you're a head coach in the NFL, you've got a GM to answer to. You've got an owner to answer to a lot of times. You can't control your roster quite like a college football coach can. And I think that's a big positive in terms of him staying in the college game for a long, long time, because he can control his, and he's really good at controlling his roster right now, at least on the offensive side.
Leave us with this obvious one, and that would be Alex Grinch, the defense. How much improvement should we expect?
I think you should expect a lot of improvement, but I'm saying that because last year they weren't good at anything. I mean, they had 11 turnovers last year. 11 turnovers. I don't know how you can be any worse than only forcing 11 turnovers. And that, if they're emphasizing anything, it's just that they have got to create more and more turnovers. They're going to be better, I think. I think the coaching staff from this year to last year is miles better. I think the development is miles better. They're finally going to have an identity. And, yeah, it may not be great at first. That means they're still giving up points and they're still giving up yards. But at least they're going to hang their hat on something. And as the year goes on, I think that defense is going to get better and better, which has not been the case throughout the past 3 years. So they're going to stick to their identity. They're going to stick to what they do. And by the end of the year, I think that they'll be halfway decent at it. But if they can create turnovers, if they can double their turnover production from 11 to 22 and be an opportunistic defense, then I think that this defense has a chance to look a whole lot different than it has in the past 2 years. But make no mistake about it, they still got a long ways to go to be where they feel comfortable at being at a championship level, and it's probably not going to happen for 2 or 3 more years. But I think Alex Grinch was a home run hire, and I think finally they have a good defensive staff that is going to really help them finally get over the hump.
Tyler, way to go, bud. Appreciate it, man.
See you, Bill.